Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you listen to this podcast. I am Jamie Waxman, and this is Playgirls Sex Pod, available wherever podcasts are available or through PlaygirlTV.com. I've been doing this now for a number of months. This is podcast number 14, heard every other week, new, fresh. Not really live, I guess, because I have to record the podcast before I send it over the internet, but live for all purposes, because I don't do any editing of sorts. I don't do any sort of stop and start technique. I just kind of free form, free flow. Once I've done a little research and decided on the topics for the day, I'm Jamie Waxman, a sex educator, sex explorer, some people say sex expert, and I write a monthly column for Playgirl magazine. And I also do work with Playgirl TV, which you can find almost anywhere, it seems, right now. All you need to do is go to the video on demand section of your cable provider's channels or whatever it's called and look for adult entertainment for couples or for her. And under that, you should find Playgirl TV. If you can't find Playgirl TV, you should call your local cable operator, because let me tell you, as far as adult erotica goes for women and couples, you're missing out if you're not getting Playgirl TV. And you could check out Playgirl TV at PlayGirlTV.com. Once again, I'm Jamie Waxman, and if you want to know who I am, the face that goes with the voice, you can check out my website, which is JamieWaxman.com. If you want to spell it correctly, you can spell it incorrectly and still get there. It's JamieWaxman.com. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, a couple of things. I want to really get into some sex, because last week I talked a lot about the pro-choice and anti-choice movement. But before I get into the G-spot and the prostate and men and vibration, something that, you know, recently in my life has become a bigger and more influential factor in sex, I'd like to mention an article that was in the Sunday New York Times, nytimes.com, if you don't subscribe, about unwed fathers fighting for the babies placed for adoption by the mothers. The article is by Tamar Lewin. I have a slight or more than slight inclination to believe that Dr. Warren Farrell, a fantastic male who does a lot on males' rights and the rights of men as fathers and all different types of men's rights, I have a feeling he had something to do with this article, although he's not in the article. But what I found really interesting is, if you're a man and you're listening to this and you've had intercourse with a woman and you think she may be pregnant and you think she may keep the baby but give it up for adoption, or you want the right to raise this child if she does not want this right, you need to register in most states, and you'd have to check out with your state, but before an adoption petition is filed, you need to register with the state as part of the putative father registry, something I did not know existed. But apparently, if you feel that you've been with somebody who may have a baby and you may not have the right to that child, if the mother doesn't want to raise the child and you decide that you can do this on your own. I mean, single mothers, you know, and single fathers have been around forever, but the fact that a single father may want the child regardless of if the single mother does, you need to register in most states for this putative father registry. And I find it really fascinating. About 30 states now have these registries, and each state the registry varies widely, but in some, fathers must actually claim paternity, and in others just the possibility of paternity. So you should check that out, because a man does have the same amount of rights to the child as a woman does, as long as he's willing to really be a good parent. Okay, switching gears. I once won a best orgasm contest. I'm sure I've touted that before. It was a fake orgasm contest and we had to do it in front of people. And I did not want to do it because I was so embarrassed to fake it in front of a group of like 150 lifestylers in Jamaica. But my engineer at the time, I was working on a radio show, he kind of pushed me into the role and I looked stupid if I decided to back out. So I decided to fake it like I was going to make it. Fake it till you make it. That's a saying, right? And I didn't do so bad. I actually came in second place. First place went to someone on the male side. And then I got second place. I thought he went a little overboard. But hey, you know what? First is the worst. Second is the best. Third is the one with the hairy chest. Remember that? Okay. So let's talk about a very controversial but often sought after spot on a woman's body. It's called the G-spot, and not everybody believes it exists, although a lot of doctors and gynecologists who say it doesn't exist do say so because they don't feel it. And the truth of the matter is the G-spot, which let's get into what the G-spot is first and then why you can't feel it all the time. The G-spot is some spongy tissue that surrounds the urethra. Now, the urethra is surrounded by a tissue, the urethral sponge. It's a nice, thick, spongy mass. And a lot of women, not all women, a lot of women, though, experience pleasure when they have their G-spot stimulated. Now, again, going back for a second, why are doctors and gynecologists, who are doctors, obviously saying the G-spot doesn't exist? Well, that's because in order to feel the G-spot, which is about the size of a dime up to a quarter, and when you're aroused, it will feel like the shell of a walnut. It's the best description I can give right now. I'm sure there are better. You only feel the G-spot when extremely aroused. So when you go to a doctor's office and you're getting a physical, odds are you're not that turned on, and odds are they aren't going to find the G-spot if you're not that turned on. So again, in order to find the G-spot, you need to be highly aroused. What does that mean? That means if you're going to look for your partner's G-spot or your own G-spot, that means maybe, you know, touching yourself, stroking your breasts, playing with your clitoris, going there before you go inside of you. In fact, the clitoris is a great way to get yourself turned on to finding G-spot stimulation. How do you find the G-spot? Don't go in the urethra. Very bad idea. The urethra is a small opening above the vagina. So what you want to do is you want to go in through the vagina. Have her, or if you are a female, lie on your back. Spread your legs a little bit, missionary position, sort of, and enter with one or two fingers in a come hither sort of motion. So if you're going to make this motion with me right now, your pointer finger is pointing, your hand is palm up, your pointer finger is pointing away from you, pointing at something else, and do that come hither sort of motion, come here, where you actually bring the first and second beds of the finger towards you in that circular come here, come hither motion. That's the type of motion you want to use inside of yourself as well, inside of your vagina. Again, the urethral sponge that you're hitting is at the bottom of the urethra, so you can access it through the top wall of the vagina, which is why you're going in through the vagina. Once you get 1 to 2 finger beds in, or 1 to 3 inches, depending, you are going to start that come hither sort of motion, rubbing on the top wall of the vagina. Now, because the urethral sponge or the G-spot is through a wall of muscle, you want to apply some sort of pressure. We're not talking about pounding away or poking in this really hard, uncomfortable sort of way, but you definitely want to apply some sort of pressure in order to stimulate the G-spot. The G-spot, by the way, is named after a Dr. Ernest Grothenberg, a German gynecologist who, I guess you can't say he discovered the spot. You can't say that because it was always there. But he definitely spent a great deal of time doing research on the area. So once you find the G-spot, one or two fingers is nice too, because two fingers in that come hither sort of motion going around the spot can also really do some wonders for stimulation. You want to massage the spot, getting aggressively. You can do either an up, down, side, side stroke, or possibly a circular stroke. If your fingers get tired easily, I really like an acrylic wand. It's this S-curved wand. It sells in adult shops for about $25 to $30 for the acrylic version. You could go with glass as well, but acrylic is really nice and light. And to tell you the truth, the first time I allowed myself to have a G-spot orgasm, it took me 45 minutes to get off. So that's a lot of time. And I definitely suggest that you give yourself time, relax. If your fingers get tired, something with a curve is nice. You can hold on to one side. But once you explore the G-spot, clitoral stimulation is always nice as well. You can access the G-spot through the butt as well. It's kind of the reverse motion. When you go in through the butt, you're going towards the belly button. It's again the same way with going in through the vagina. Your fingers are ultimately going towards the belly button. I find that for myself with G-spot stimulation, I don't need vibration. Vibration is a much more clitoral thing, but it also, you know, that's different strokes for different folks. So that's very basic how to find your G-spot. If you need more information, there's a fantastic book called The Good Vibrations Guide to the G-Spot by Kathy Winks. It's published by Down There Press. It's a very small book, and it will give you lots of information on the G-spot. In fact, I find it's compiled information from so many other books that it's a great resource. Or you can email me through the PlayGirlTV.com website or through my own JamieWaxman.com website, and I will be happy to give you any more information that you need. Now, speaking of vibration, I suggest that I know I did a podcast about toys for boys a while ago that was a little low, but I do suggest that incorporating vibration with your male partners, or if you're a guy, trying vibration is a really fun and exciting and new kind of twist on the same old, same old. Vibration on the head of the penis, which for a lot of men, the first one-third of the penis is the most sensitive, just like our clitoris, 8,000 nerve endings designed for the sole purpose of pleasure, is very, very sensitive. A little vibration on the tip, or maybe even on the shaft or under the balls, is really nice. A small vibrator. Playgirl has its own line of vibrators you can check out, and I'm sure they have a small vibrator. I think it's called the Mini Mite. But a small vibrator like that, or the Pocket Rocket, is a fantastic way to go. Also, a little Fukuyoko finger vibe. That's one that you actually wear on your finger. That's really nice as well. And that's something that's won't affect your sex play, because you can be wearing it and you don't have to even know that it's there, which is kind of nice and uninhibiting. Around the butt is nice too, for both men and women, a little vibration. Vibrating cock rings are another way to go. The sort of pedal cock ring, or a cock ring that's stretchy, because you don't want somebody who's never used a cock ring before to get very nervous about using a cock ring, but something that's small and stretchy with a vibrator attached to it is really nice, because the vibration can then be turned so that while you're having intercourse, it's hitting her clitoris or your clitoris, depending on who you are listening to this, and I'll stop saying that. Or it's also providing vibration to the shaft of the penis, which makes your penis like a vibrating sex toy. Now, not all men will love vibration. You know, it's definitely something that you want to try, just like not all women love G-spot stimulation. It's something that you want to talk to your partner about perhaps before you go there, but I really think even if a guy says that this vibration thing isn't for him, if he hasn't tried it before, he really might want to try that before he says it. And let's talk about something else he might want to try before he says it isn't for him, and that's prostate stimulation. The prostate, which is what I call the male G-spot or the P-spot, is sort of equivalent to a woman's G-spot. We don't have a prostate like a man doesn't have a G-spot, but a prostate is actually a gland that's located around the internal parts of our external genitalia. Well, of his external genitalia, not mine. And what's great, you've heard lots of things about prostates, probably, but they most of them don't have very positive connotations. Things like prostate cancer, or yeah, I guess that's the biggest, or that your prostate gets bigger as you get older for guys, which is true. Your prostate enlarges over time. But prostate massage is one of the best ways to keep your prostate healthy and happy. Because on a downer note, one out of 11 or 12 men will eventually get prostate cancer. And one of the best ways to keep that prostate active and alive is to massage it. Now, there are a few ways to massage the prostate or the P-spot, just like you can go in through the vagina for the G-spot, or you can go in through the butt. With the prostate, you can go in through the butt, and putting a finger in an ass does not make you gay, unless, of course, you are gay. Then it doesn't really matter what you're doing. But not all guys are all that into. It's the same sort of thing. It's that come hither, going towards the belly button motion way of finding the prostate. The prostate, again, is about the size of a quarter, and it has that roughness type of feel to it. And sometimes it's best and easiest to find a prostate by asking your partner if, while he's ever masturbated, he's gone to that spot below his balls, that he can show you where he presses up. Because the other way to access the prostate is from behind the balls and before the butt. There's something called the taint, or the more technical term, the perineum. Taint your ass, taint your balls. And it's also called the million-dollar spot when you find where the prostate is. So to access the million-dollar spot, you want to go, for some guys, it's like right behind the balls, and then you're pressing up into the bulb of the penis, because what you'll feel behind the balls of the penis is that there is extra shaft, and that shaft extends probably an inch or two till it reaches the bulb of the penis, and somewhere by that bulb of the penis, you're going to be able to get to gain access to the prostate. Use one or two fingers, and not so gently, but not difficultly. And once again, he is aroused. Women and men are aroused from front to back. So if you go to his backside before his front side is aroused that first time, odds are he's not going to be too happy about you being there. But once he's aroused and really turned on, it's a very different story. So what you want to do is you want to massage, rub, circular motion, up and down, side to side, whatever works for him. You want to massage that million-dollar spot, the area between the balls and the butt. And you want to look for a hard, round sort of lump almost, but that kind of sounds scary. But you know what I mean. Look for that kind of bump. I'm telling you, most guys have tried to massage their prostate regardless of if they know that they've massaged it or not, and may be able to help you out there, at least initially. It's really nice. You can actually have orgasms with your P-spot, with your prostate only, where you're not even erect and where you don't ejaculate fluid. That's definitely something that's possible. It's possible through anal play, and it's possible through massaging of the million-dollar spot. Another fantastic book for guys who are into learning more about the prostate or orgasming without erections even, should look out, check out The Multi-Orgasmic Man by Douglas Abrams and Montauk Chia. I definitely think it's something to look into. It's absolutely a fantastic resource for men and women about the male anatomy and the male body. And this is just a very basic introduction to the prostate and the G-spot. Again, there are tons of resources online. You can email me, but it's important. Vibration for guys, try it out. Fukioko is a finger vibe again. The vibrating cock ring. There are other finger vibes as well out there. The finger fun. A vibrating cock ring or a small vibrator that you can use. Even if there's a way that you're having sex doggy style using a vibrator. You know which one I really like for this? One of the Natural Contours by Candida Royale. It's the yellow vibe. It's one of her newer ones. I believe it's called the Liberté. It's yellow and it's got this sort of hook, like a question mark almost. It's great because you can be massaging yourself and the hook part can reach over to him while he's fucking you from behind in doggy style. It's a great little thing there. Try vibration on your guy. He probably will like it, and it might actually be great for the two of you during sex. It may help you get off, and it may, you know, enhance his sexual pleasure. check out the prostate, check out the G-spot. These are things that, you know, you really need to check out. They're not going to do it for everyone. If you can't find your G-spot, I should say this too. I did once have a woman in a class tell me her G-spot was located on the base of her vagina. Very interesting and weird, because the urethral sponge usually isn't there, but it's possible. Anything is possible. Exploring your sexual options will help you realize how much is possible. Check out PlayGirlTV.com if you're looking for great erotica. And check out my website, Jamie Waxman, JamieWaxman.com, for more information about me. Once again, thank you for listening to Playgirls Sex Pod. I totally enjoy being here and doing this, and I look forward to speaking with you guys again real soon. And until then, come again and again and